that you would know of all certainty that my peace I give unto you, not as the world gives peace, give I unto you. This peace was not meant to function in harmony with things going in your direction. This peace was a 24/7 all the time constant that you learned by practicing presence and living in my word. Therefore, at all times you were in season, not out of season. You could perform my will and not wait till the season changed for you, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's, not we, but He's teaching us how to live in the furnace and how not to pay attention to it. Because you're paying more attention to Him and what His Word says and what He's saying as a witness on the... Well, Pastor, listen. You're going to have to learn if you're going to manifest His mind and step into situations. See, we're His hope. The world's not going to cause a revival. One of the next things that's going to take place after the marriage supper of the Lamb, we're going to enter into that glory that we sing about, like the waters cover the sea. Well, that's revival. No, that particular Isaiah 11 chapter is when He comes back and the little kid will lead the lion and the bear, and the little child will put his hand in the cockatrice den, and the baby will play with the asp, and the lion, it said, will eat straw. Perfect peace. That's the millennial reign. Between now and then, there's a great war that's going to be fought. A horrific war. And your life depends. Your sanity depends. Your ability to relax in the middle of all a hell and say, my God, this is heaven. And yet others will be dropping out like flies around you. What did He say this morning? Leave your nets. There is a time where the dead has to bury the dead. And you have to say, I'm going to stay entangled with what's entangling me, or I'm going to follow Jesus. And that might mean, I'm sorry, I cannot continue to fight this fight on a flesh level. I've got to step in to a place where at sometimes the perimeter of your sphere of what is around you is at nose level. It's right there. It's whether or not you will say or else not say. It's whether sometimes it's the right thing not to say what is being pressed upon you. And yet you're going inside and saying, I worship you, Jesus. I magnify you. Heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will never pass away. I speak blessings over them. No way. I am being trained to live in hell and bring heaven right around me and to walk and see where His hope. If we don't get it, they sure enough ain't going to get it. If the seekers are not going to bring peace into the situation, my God, who's going to bring it? Who's going to step into people going crazy, pulling their hair out and say, oh, this is nothing because I basically live in a war around me all the time. And the Philistines are always there, great giants, demons coming in, coming out. It doesn't... Well, I thought on this path... No, you thought wrong. You thought wrong. See, you're either going to be badgered by the devil one or two ways. It's either because you've got part of your life in flesh and in the world, and He's got a handle on you. I said this Wednesday night. It bears repeating. A lot of people are rebuking Him out of a stronghold that He put them in. I say, you better get out of my house and get off of my finances, and you better... and they're rebuking him inside of a stronghold because part of their life is mixed up in the world, and they're messing around, or they've got a big offense about the size of Texas that they're nursing, or they're messing around and they put Visine from Saturday night in their eyes to come in on Sunday morning. He loves them just as well, but when you're standing there, I say, you better get out of my path. I'm telling you in Jesus' name. And that devil, he just slips a big arm around you, spiritually speaking. Takes a big toke of a cheap Cuban demon spirit realm, demon Cuban cigar, takes a sip of vodka, Russian vodka, and say, was you talking to me? Because we're boys and we hang out together, and you've been running your mouth like a wild person, and then you want me to get up and leave. I'm your daddy. Well, if I was doing that, the time I realized it, God. Whew. 1 John said, if any man sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not only ours, but the sins of the whole world. I say, Father, forgive me and wash me and cleanse me, and I will not do this any longer. I will not follow that, and I will not let that devil run over me. Now his arm comes off, and we're separated, and I'm in one realm and he's in the other, and I say, now in Jesus' name, you better get out of my path and get out of my home. Get out of my marriage. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're his hope, though. That's a couple times in and out of here, and I never prayed in here Friday, and his glory was in here. It was so glorious. I could just stand here and look at him. Couldn't see him, but I could look at him. And when I left, I think I left and Yolanda cut my hair, and I come back and went right back into it, and he was in here. And I knew he was talking about witnessing to me. And as I was praying about that habitation and people, they're going to come from all over the earth to witness what we have here. And I'm so thankful for what other branches and parts of the body have. I am so grateful, but I'm telling you, they're going to come from all parts of the planet to sit down in this habitation. Hallelujah. It's so strong in here. When I was walking back across the field, I didn't even think about it. I looked back to see if I could see something over the building. That's how strong it was. Because you'll ride by in days ahead and see him. Hallelujah. So if you come to church and church is not like church, and you say, well, no, sorry. This is a training center. We're teaching you how to raise the dead, heal the sick, cast out devils. Hallelujah. We're not a social club, although I'd love to associate with you. Fix me a big steak and see if I won't come over. Tempt me. I will dine with you. But we're not functioning as a club. We're teaching you how to raise the dead, how to look devils right in the eye. They just go crazy. We haven't had a lot around here with that. We will in the days ahead. Don't get scared. When the power increases. Oh. Dave said when he went into a long fast one time and he got an anointing that he had never received, and that stayed on him a little bit, and then it left. He said, you wouldn't believe the people that manifested that didn't manifest before. The only thing is, when the fire gets turned up, You'll think that happens in Africa. No, it happens in sophisticated people who are messing around and giving their life over to a level. Sometimes it can be they can be born again, but they can have a habitation in the soul that's just tormenting them day and night. And they're not to be condemned, but they're to be set free. But the way that we deal with devils is not a bunch of people running over and getting buckets and letting them puke in it. They may, because they don't like coming out, and it makes the person nauseated sometimes. But I never could figure out why a person thought they needed to see something come out. If he was invisible when he went in, he's sure enough invisible when he comes out. They used to say when you sneezed. One group was saying he was sneezing. Well, I lost a couple of them this morning on the way to church. That's probably the reason why I feel so free. Hallelujah. No, I've been trained by the Holy Spirit and my spirit, my father in spirit, Dave Roberson. You just tell them what you want and walk away from them. They love theatrics. They love people to get around them and say, oh, you can work with one for hours if you want to. I've got better things to do. Jesus just cast them out with His Word. Hallelujah. People sometimes will get, they want to talk about devils for hours. What? Okay, let's equivocate it. He's mean. We don't like him. He don't like us. We got more power through Jesus. He's going to hell. We're going to heaven. We get to cast him out. Enough said. Now let's go on. Hallelujah. It's about as far as you need to take it. Jesus is Lord. And when you meet Him, you don't have to be afraid. Hallelujah. Glory. Then again, you don't want to be like that preacher that was trying to cast one out. And then the thing started telling about where he had been. And what he'd been doing. Some preachers shouldn't cast him out because they'll tell on him. You had three martinis at Joe's place last Wednesday night after the service. He said, I did not. Marcia, cast it out. We want to bless David Forrest and his family. His mother, which was his grandmother, or his great-grandmother, which grandmother that raised him, went to be with Jesus at 97 last Sunday. So I really think that's hallelujah. Hallelujah. And they had her home going yesterday, and so you guys want to give them a big hug today and just bless them in the Spirit and say we're here with you and for you. In fact, why don't we do that right now? Oh, Deanne will come and sing afterwards. And why don't you hug one another? Oh, Mom and Dad thought they needed a rest from us. They're going away for the summer. And they're going to suffer up in the mountains. I don't like that. Would you just stretch your faith this way and let's just bless them. Father, oh Lord, we pray that whatever they know from this place and this walk and this way that they'll carry with them, and that Your life and Your peace and Your provision rest upon them. And all that they do and all that they say, Lord, let them be this witness of Your grace. And we give You all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, lights. camera, action. Hallelujah. And Davy Jean is coming in. Oh, I'm not going to bring it to you. Nobody's attention that I get to find out what I am having this Thursday. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Why don't we stand and give somebody a great big squatch? We prayed last week for Henry Lopez, and Rick came by the house and got a... Henry used to come years ago, and we knew his wife and family. And then naturally had brain tumor and was dying and almost unaware of his surroundings. And when people would come in, especially pastors, he'd get very belligerent, curse, and we prayed and sent the cloth over. So Rick got a call yesterday from one of his daughters. Is that right? Yeah. And he was on the road, and it said, you know, something has happened to Daddy. And so he got on the phone with Rick. And what was he saying?
He started asking about my family. And I kind of cut him off, and I wanted to make sure that I would get in the moment. I said, Henry, call on his name right now. You call on the name of Jesus. Whatever you do, you say I'm going to live and not die. So I know for a fact from that moment forward, if he does pass on, I know he's going to hell.
So he began to confess what you were saying.
Yes, he confessed, I'm going to live and not die. Rick, I'm going to live and not die. And the kid was right there with us. And we just worship God because it's a miracle, because he hadn't been able to talk at all. We had a few moments, and I could understand. We had a conversation. This man could not talk last week. We actually had a conversation. I don't know where he's at physically, but I know that he's going to heaven for sure. That was the most important thing. And I'm going to go pray for him again today at the church. And he said he's not letting his handkerchief go ever since I gave it to him. He's not letting it go because I want to hold on to it, Rick. I'm not going to let it go. Please come pray for me. And the thing about it is, after I prayed for him, he was like, they had him sedated where he couldn't. But he told his daughter Rick was here. Rick was here. I know Rick prayed for me because I got in his ear that night that he couldn't. They said he can't hear you. But I got in his ear and said, Henry, you know Jesus. Call on his name. Call out to Jesus. You know him. And he told his daughter the next day, Rick was here.
Hallelujah.
He prayed. Hallelujah. It don't matter what the doctors tell you. They're wonderful. They're great. But when God comes on the scene, God.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. So when you go over there today and pray for him, we're going to stretch our faith, and you can lead him because he'll pray. And just lead him in that kind of official cleansing. Father, renew my place in Jesus and wash me. So Father, we pray that as Rick goes, that Lord, that you'll lay your hand on him, and that Lord, you'll do a work inside of him, and that you'll do a completed work inside of Henry. Thank you, Father, that you've prepared his heart and are preparing his heart for the days ahead and presently. And we speak life, the life of God, against all impossible odds and call him whole. And Father, that first place, that foundation, eternity, that's the place where we began last week. And that's the place we hold now. And we release your grace now in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, that's a good report. Hallelujah. Is this on? Marcia, you want to share? And you can step up here.
First, I'll share with... Hello?
Yeah.
Okay. First, I shared, or before I share this, last week, or Wednesday night, I stood in for my niece for her surgery, and praise God, her surgery went really well, and she's doing great, and she's doing fine. So, all the glory to the Lord. But this morning, two different things I want to share. One thing is, when we were on the platform worshiping, I just felt like these beings just going back and forth on the platform and just going up and down in the house. And And there was times I even opened my eyes because I could just really sense that. I just knew there was just just the presence of the Lord and His angelic beings here with us this morning. When Pastor prayed for me and I went down under the Spirit, it was just beautiful, glorious what I saw. I saw, at first I saw this blackness and darkness, but then I just saw this great big circle opening up in all that blackness and all that darkness, and it was so glorious, and I just saw it shooting down through the heavens, just all this glory and brightness and anointing, and it was just such a bright, bright light and the glory of God, and then it's like I saw the earth, and it was just shooting down on the earth, and it came right here to this place, all this glory of God, and it was just that the heavens were opened, that the darkness was pushed back, just like Deanne gave that word this morning. The change has come, and we've received that change, and we can walk out of here and stay changed and stay delivered and stay set free because He did it. He did it. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just wanted to testify to bless me this morning. I knew the Lord had given me, I leaned over to Dalton and said, the Holy Spirit made me get that emphatic on the stage. And he said, well, he was about to leave because the only time I do that at home is when I'm getting on to one of them. I said, the Holy Spirit may do it. I could see myself getting that emphatic. But my word that I knew I had was different than Bubba's. Pastor Bronx. And Pastor Bubba. So I was, I said, Lord, I don't want to interrupt him. So you'll have to let him tell me. You'll have to let him know I got something, and he'll have to tell me. So everybody was worshiping and had their heads bowed and praising the Lord, and I stood there looking straight at him, just like that. Just, you got to tell me. And he turned around and said, go ahead. Well, when I let it loose, I knew it was the Lord. I thank Him so much for it. But Melody came up to me afterwards and let me know what the Lord had done for her. I'd like for her to, can I do that? Yes. Okay.
Don't worry, everybody will get a chance.
Well, this starting last night, I started getting severe pain in my lower back. And I had been exercising this week, so I thought it was from that, but I didn't feel I'd done anything to really make it that severe. And so I got the heating pad last night, and I got it out, and Rex prayed for me, and Mom prayed for me, and I went to bed, and then this morning I woke up, and it was worse. I could barely walk, and on the way to church even, I got out of my seatbelt, which I never do, and I laid down in the back and put my feet up because I couldn't even bear the pain at all. And I came into church, and I told Pastor, I said, you better have a prayer line this morning because I need healed my back. And anyway, when she was saying those words, it was like instant because I knew that it wasn't pain from something, but it was the enemy attacking me because this morning I just felt like the Lord telling me it's just stress. You need to let things go. And I wasn't doing that. I was holding on to them. And so when she said that word, it just, something set into me and I am pain free. So praise the Lord.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. God is good, isn't He? God is good. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. All right. How many of you would rather have Him?
Yeah.
Amen. Praise God. Matthew 6. Don't turn there. I got all kind of stuff stored up to preach. it's pretty cool when he keeps taking over, because whenever I do get to preach, I don't even have to restudy it or meditate. It's banked up. I got it all banked up. We can go on for months without me ever. Hallelujah. I'd rather have Jesus. It's so, it's amazing to me as I was meditating on this Wednesday night. I said it, and then I laid down. I thought, is that right? Do I properly represent that? But there is a valid truth in it, because he said, if any man will lay down his life, if he'll lose it. In other words, if you'll choose to go the full gamut, okay. And most of the time, people don't even know how. They don't even know how without the Comforter to come and show them how to lay it down. If anybody and everybody that ever said, okay, I choose God above myself, if they could have done it just that easy, everybody in the kingdom would be just living real fat and full of Holy Ghost and could do and maneuver laterally, horizontally, could just really walk strong and without depression and offenses and all those kinds of things. The only thing is it's far more than a statement. Then once the statement's made, somebody's got to come and employ that. In other words, somebody's got to come and put you to death. Paul said, I die daily. But it wasn't Paul just himself. He said, it's not I, but Christ in me. It's the hope of glory. So somebody's got to come, and that somebody's the Holy Spirit. It's not a mental decision you make. It starts out with a decision of the heart, and the mind's got to be employed in that. But after you say, okay, I don't want to be this, I'm just sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I don't like not liking people, and I don't like people putting a hangnail in my emotions. And you know, just the devil's a mean old guy. Because if he sees that people bother you, as soon as you get done settling it with one, here comes, they'll have, it's a ticker tape parade. I've got my number back there at the door. My God, is anybody behind you? Oh no, there's hundreds behind you. Hundreds. And you just keep going around the same mountain. It's part of your flesh. It's not cauterized, if you should say. The iron is not, if that part of you is, if people can get your goat, you'll just, oh my God. Look like one of those mirrors that you look into, that you can put a mirror behind you and it's like an endless, you know, you see yourself and it's like, oh, there's no end to this. But once you learn a place in Him where people can't get you, then it's not like the devil will leave you alone. It's just that he can't get you in that way anymore. He'll have to go find something else. Some of you'd be happy with just some new trials instead of the same old ones. I mean, a new one would be refreshing to some of you. It'd be like, oh God, thank you. Well, God, you're not doing it, but this is refreshing to have something new to worry about instead of the old. I'm But I'd rather have Jesus. And so you can't just make that decision. Then you can, but then somebody's got to come alongside of you, and that's the Paraclete. Then every day He will, not by emotions, not by tears. Tears are wonderful, but by the employment and the way that He does that, primarily. The first step of the second work of grace is the baptism of the Spirit. Philip went down to Samaria and he was getting people saved. And then John and Peter came down and they were watching and they were saying, this is wonderful. And healings were taking place. And they said, how many of you have been filled with the Holy Ghost? And they said, That hasn't happened here yet. Well, those apostles laid hands on them. So they said, all we've been is just baptized in Jesus' name. So it lets you know that they were born again. But just because they were born again, they weren't filled. So born again and being filled with the Spirit is two separate works. So you got to understand that. That's what a lot of churches don't understand. The Holy Spirit's got to take up residency in what He built. But then after He takes up a residency, which should happen, it really should happen simultaneously with the new birth. If it's taught right, then people can get saved instantly and be filled instantly. I mean, that's all one process. But then Romans 8 is He stands down in you. And what do you think it means when it says the Spirit Himself maketh intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered? For He maketh intercession for the saints according to the mind, or the mind of the Spirit, which is the mind of Christ. For he that searches the hearts knows what is the mind of God, the plan of God. And then it goes on to say, and therefore we know because of this, all things work together for the good of them that love God and are called according to His purpose. Oh, Pastor, I'll tell you, I'm going through this horrible trial. I wrecked my vehicle, went to the hospital, broke my leg, and I was laying there. And then I got a chance to witness to the person next door. So thank God all things work together for the good of them that love God. That's not what it's saying. It's not what it's saying. You'd have to take it out of context. What it's saying that is in that process of mortification, while you're praying in other tongues, the Spirit knows what you need. He knows why you've been failing. He knows. So the more you give Him, the more He's able to mortify. Romans 8, same chapter. It's through the Spirit you mortify the deeds of the body. Then He goes on to tell you how blatantly, how you do it. First step, I mean before anything else, you were given the Holy Ghost. And you could open your lips. And then in that process, because you can't take it out of context, it says, he that makes intercession for the saints, he makes it according to the mind of Christ. And therefore, because of that, we know that all things work together for the good. Meaning, while you're shundalai, pants on fire, while you're speaking those mysteries, the Holy Spirit is mortifying. And He's taking a hot iron and cauterizing that parts of you that have been open wounds. And then you'll pray for those hours. Then if that is working, if the moment that you open your mouth and you're praying a mystery, wouldn't it make sense to spend hour after hour as much as you possibly could? If a little is much, how much more is much on much? Because the more you give Him, the more He'll sit there. You'll never run out of a tongue and reach down inside of you and say, "What? Where's the well?" He'll never reach back up and say, ran out of words to say. He's praying for you. And in that prayer, it's a prayer that's the perfect mind of Christ. And it's mortifying you. You won't even know why. You'll get up one morning and you'll go to think about what you were thinking about. And where it had a sore. You know how you work out one part of your body and then it's 24 hours. Really, 48 is the peak of it. 48 hours. If you worked out a spot that you never worked out, 48 hours, you can't. Those guys that's ever done squats, you know you can't move 48 hours later. When it's sore, when the problem's there, Satan tried to put something on your mind. Every time you thought about it, you went kind of autistic. It's like it just took your attention. Or you thought about that person, you could feel the sore, the bruise, the owie still there. You start praying in tongues. You won't even have to concentrate on it. You'll just be in motion, in stride, headed somewhere to a restaurant or waking up, and you'll have that same thought, and the owie won't be there. And you'll wonder, why? Why? Because for a few days without your knowing, see, if here's the genius of God. If He told you what you was praying, you wouldn't be praying it. He puts you to sleep. Here's the genius of God. You don't know what you're praying. Somebody said, "I don't want to pray what I don't want." That's why you should be praying. Because you'll be praying, like Deanne said, you'll be praying your will. I want this, I want that. And He said, "No, that's not what makes you happy." Because what will make you happy, if any man will lay down his life, if he'll lose it, he'll find it. And this is the part I thought about Wednesday night. I said, this is so amazing. The devil and the flesh will partner up and they'll tell you, you know what, if you lay that down. This is what they tell people that have a hard time putting their flesh down, especially who are got a foot in the world. If you lay that part down, you're not going to have fun anymore. You're not going to have fulfillment anymore. Let me tell you something. The God that created all pleasure is the God that knows best. The world and Satan didn't create pleasure. God created it. He created Satan, perverted it, and then said, oh, God wants to keep you from that. And Jesus, in a certain sense, even in His words, made an invitation. I know it's spiritual first. You first got to come to a place where you spiritually decide, I'm going to lay down my life. And I find that life in my spirit. But the gratification even of the soundness of the flesh comes under the ascendancy of the Spirit. And that gratification is once you lay down your life, you truly find it. And you say, oh my God, I thought that I was going to be happy and I was hanging on to things in the world. But then when I said, okay, God, you can have this, and I don't know how I can ever be gratified and satisfied like I'm being satisfied in the world. And then all of a sudden, the more you lose your life, Jesus said, the more that you'll find it. Hallelujah. So in a certain sense, He crossed the void and said, dangled it on a string and said, oh, you do want to be satisfied in the flesh? Come through the door of the Spirit, lay down your life, and you'll find that the flesh is consumed with a satisfaction of being under the ascendancy of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. But how do I do that? Oh, I'm just going to make a decision. I love it when people say they preach pulpit sermons. Love! Love more! Love your neighbor! Okay, got that. Could you go ahead and tell me how to do that after you've told me that I need to do that? Because if you can't tell me the how to, then it's all academic. It's just, I knew that. Duh. Yeah, okay. Wonderful. We're supposed to love one another. Oh, boy, the glory come all over me when you said that. Love one another. Can you tell me how, when I hate them, to deliberately, on purpose, walk out of depression just because I want to? I sure can. If you'll fasten yourself to a place and not get up and not call somebody or not turn the TV on. If you'll ride down the road, if you'll shower, if you'll do whatever, praying in tongues, you will have meltdowns, and you'll have them often. And on the other side of a meltdown, you'll feel like something come off of you and something come in you, and you'll be losing your life, but simultaneously you'll be finding your life in Him. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. And people will still come, but then the devil will be, you want to make him mad? If you want to make him mad, get to a place where parts, big parts and chunks of that just fall off and people can't get your goat. Then he's like, damn, I got them all their life with that. I fooled them all their life. They always thought that person, what they just said to them or how they treated them, had something to do with the peace of their day. They followed that carrot all the time. Now they realize that peace is a thing that is in Christ and really has nothing to do with how somebody else is treating you. Glory be to God. I love you, Jesus. Would you just lift your hands and love Him? He's just so wonderful. Father, I love you. We love you so much. You are so, so wonderful, and I thank you. I recognize in the Spirit, Father, where you're taking us. in the days ahead. And I just love you and praise you and what you've placed in us. Hallelujah. Well, don't be surprised when habitations show up. And when Jesus was here, they said, we never saw it like this before. If the gates and the doors stay open and people are here in the middle of the day or in the middle of the night and they just want to sit and pray and pray and pray and he just stays and you hear by word of mouth that, hey, they're having service over there on Monday night or on Monday or Tuesday, it's just grow and grow and grow and grow. And you'll show up one day and you said, oh, I can show up at 10:30 and get my seat because I've always done that. And you'll show up at 10:30 and you won't even be able to get in the parking lot. Hallelujah. Now that's where we're headed. And that's what I'm believing for. Why? Because the blind will see, the lame will walk, thousands and thousands. I know that you know this, and this is no boast. My God, in fact, what I like is family and closeness. And God will show us a way. He will show us a way in the thousands to stay close. Do you know, when God's in it, you never have to lose that family atmosphere. You never have to. You don't have to be afraid of it. Well, I like quaint little churches, and I like little... Well, I can tell you, I'm after the day when I look out over a sea of souls and say, Father, I didn't do this. We didn't do this. This is the kingdom of God come. This is it. Hallelujah. And everybody will feel like family, and it won't feel commercial, and it won't feel that big kind of like Hollywood atmosphere. It'll just feel like family. Hallelujah. Praise God. And Sandy won't have to drive so far. Hallelujah. I mean, glad Sandy's here. We'll reach you. God will reach all the way over there where you're at. Hallelujah. Sandy has stuck with it. Hallelujah. She's stuck with it. Because she prays in tongues. Sometimes I'll call Homer and, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah. We'll get to talking a little bit. And so often he goes back to the way that we're on. And you've heard him say it. I'm not saying anything out of private. Pastor, if I wasn't on this walk, I'd be dead. Amen. I'd be divorced. I'd be blah, 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 blah. See, some people, whether they're going to hell or not, have been raised under a discipline where, you know, they're pretty nice, or, you know, they'll live a Leave It to Beaver kind of family life. Some people, without the new nature, are just hell on wheels. And that's probably a lot of you. Thank God you're born again and on this walk. Yeah. Now that's the other thing. A lot of you are born again, but if you didn't pray in tongues, you'd still be hell on wheels. Because did you know, I want to give you a secret. Most of you never, you can say you got that here this morning. Christians can be some of the meanest people on planet Earth. Oh, God, they can't. Oh, God, they can. But if they pray in tongues all the time, Jude 20 says, these are they that are sensual, having not the Spirit, but you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. So to tell me love, woo! Now can you tell me how to love? Yes, I can. His name is the Holy Ghost, and he's a pretty wonderful fellow. Because he'll sit down with you. When the mind has nothing to do with the spirit, you can be angry, just got off the phone, saying words that you need to repent over. You can be having bad thoughts. And he will pray right while the mind is employed in something else. But his prayer is trumping. You see, you're not really, God doesn't really look at you to be ruled by the soul. The soul is the child. The parent is the spirit. David said, I have calmed and quieted my soul. My soul is as a weaned child. Well, there's one that'll wean the child. His name is the Holy Spirit. But to get him to shut up and stop dictating, because every morning, I don't know, maybe you're just not human, but most every morning you've got a choice when the alarm goes off and before the tea or the coffee or whatever you drink or don't drink, there's something there to present itself, to employ your mind and to take it off in concerns or in thoughts. But there's another one there standing very ready to begin to employ your day in the grace of God. And if you'll begin to turn yourself over to Him, my, what a difference He'll make. Hallelujah. All right. Well, we're getting a little warm in here, so will the ex-bucket lady, which is now the new basket lady, will place it. And she has her offering in her hand. Hallelujah. Anybody that gets a, you know, we don't always share certain needs, but then again, it is scriptural because Paul just particularly spoke about certain needs. He went and the Corinthians, when he's writing there, and he's speaking and he's talking about, you know, I'm going to take this and it's going to go over there and it's going to be used for such and such. So to say, well, you shouldn't never mention a need would be, it'd be a misnomer. It'd be wrong because Paul did it. But usually we just let you, just out of the joy of your heart, which will always be giving. But we do, I'll just let you know, summer's here. We have an AC in the front that is going to drag all summer. And you can't get it to catch up because it's too small. It's like 3 tons too small. There's one in the back. So I'm going to start preaching from the back because you can get cooler and stay cooler back there. But if you left this on 2 days in a row, it's still, when the summer heat gets, especially when June and July gets here, it's going to be tough. And it'll run, but it's just too small. We need to replace that. So how many would believe with me that all that will come in besides what we need? Besides what we need on a weekly basis. So we'll steward it right and find the best for the money. But we're going to believe God, and Rex is checking into that right now because that needs to happen. Because in about 2 weeks, I need to be... How many would like for me to be nice and cool while I'm up here? Because otherwise I'll say a bunch of mean things and he'll say, oh no, I'm going to cool that cat off. Shorts? No. And a t-shirt? No, I don't want to do that. Candy won't let me. Still mortifying. Hallelujah. All right, so Father, we just receive your grace. Why don't you ask him what he'd have you to give this morning? And many of you have determined that already. And Father, we thank you. We thank you that the blind see and that the lame walk and that the deaf hear and that the dumb speak and that the dead are raised and thousands are born again in this revival. Now, Father, we choose and we know how to lay down our life. We choose through the Holy Spirit to give ourselves over to you. I thank you for all these ones that are giving this morning. I love you, Daddy. Commit this day into you and all that we receive in this offering in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And when you bring this, you will be free to go or free to stay. Hallelujah. How many had a good time? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit moved up here so powerfully. Praise God. Everybody in the building testified. We had good music and singing, and praise God. Otto's as good looking as he's increasingly getting better looking all the time. Hallelujah. He's praying harder. So go ahead and bring this down, and you can greet one another again as you go out today. We love you. Candy and I love you, and we'll see you.